Two mics, no waiting. I didn't come up with that phrase, but I will rip it off. Mike Reese, the voice of the Salukis, joining us this morning. Morning, Mike.
Morning, Miller. Morning, Mike. Bring me up. I'm ready to talk.
Here we go.
You've done the right thing now.
I'm ready to start. Yeah, well, I'm wondering if this gets out of hand and we're still on the air at 9 o'clock. What happens? All right.
Just, you get a raise.
I have a sneaking suspicion it's the inverse of
that.
Yeah,
or actually. We get banned.
All right, one or the other. Mike Murphy, the sports director here at River Radio and, of course, News Radio WJPF. I've had the privilege of working with these guys for many years. It's always good to talk with Mr. Reese and Mr. Murphy. I always miss you when I don't get a chance to see you, but off the races we go. Mike Reese, voice of the Salukis, college football. I noticed this morning some teams, Georgia among them, have announced dates for play that they're ready to go.
It seems like the SEC, it seems like the ACC and the Big 12 are determined to play, Tom, and play all their games, whereas the Big 10 has said that it won't play, and the Pac-12 has said it won't play non-conference games either and will focus on just conference games. I waver. A month ago, I thought it would start but wouldn't finish. 2 weeks ago, I thought there was no way. And now I think I'm back to, well, no, I don't, I'm not quite back where I was a month ago. I think the chances are improving that they're going to play. And it's simply because it's so important to so many people and so many institutions financially that, what was the line with the banks, Tom, way back in the day? Too big to fail.
Yeah.
I think college football, we've allowed it to get to that point.
And it's interesting, you know, we have a microcosm of that watching SIU. We had that $500,000 paycheck that we draw so much attention for. But whenever I spoke to Liz Jarnigan, it's a much larger figure when you start looking at all the things that are being shortened. When it comes to the prospect of return of college football, Murph, what are you thinking? What's your thoughts here? Because there's a bleak outlook here. And the financial aspect, there's pressure there. There's pressure from fans, but you see that things are changing right now.
Yeah.
And people's attitudes are in flux as well.
Well, I'm sort of like Mike. You vacillate because every day, I mean, this is such a fluid situation, and we could be hit with an announcement, much like the high schools were when the IHSA was moving everybody forward. But talking to some other college football teams, and one's in the Valley, one's in the Big Sky, they, as of yesterday, are still not overly optimistic. They're hoping. But they said that meetings are taking place and they should know more by the end of this week.
Mr. Reese, the thing that's interesting about this in decision-making is we have to get to know and get approval from people that we've never had to get approval from in the past. Whether it's high school or whether it's college, there are some people that are going to have to be made happy, not only in the administration of the college, but also the local health departments.
Yeah, and some people don't like being told what to do, Tom.
Nope.
We have the mask issue these days. No, there's no question about it. And the egos that are in the business, who are used to controlling everything inside and outside their programs, and it's not just football, but it just seems bigger in football. It seems the egos are bigger in football, and it's probably because the money is so, so large in football that it ends up being like that. And I don't know how it's all going to play out, and I don't know what happens when the real political pressure comes on the people who lean towards science.
All right,
the people that say there's no way you should play. How can you do this? And how can you block and tackle? Versus the people that say, watch the unemployment rate skyrocket, including in Southern Illinois, if they don't play this fall.
Right. All right. So there's got to be a time in which you call. You say it's over. We're not going to do it. When is that time?
I agree with you, but I don't know when that is.
All right.
I think that by August 1st, you have to. If you're going to play August 28th, I'm sorry, if you're going to play August 29th, which is when Southern is supposed to play UT Martin, you better start playing by August 1st, or it won't matter if you can keep COVID out of your team, because you'll have enough injuries that COVID will seem like a minor thing. And while on that topic, one of the things that I've learned in a month, I was one of the ones first who said, you know, how in the world can you block and tackle and not spread the disease? But more and more, I think the people who know how to learn these things have learned that it's not the blocking and tackling and it's not the contact that's the issue, even though there may be saliva involved and all those things. That's not the issue. It's during the week. It's all the meetings and all the people in close proximity to each other, and that gets back to the mask thing. So that's the I think maybe that's why there's optimism about playing, fellas, that more and more people are learning that it's not so much that if I tackle you, the exchange of bodily fluids, if one of us has COVID, is the problem, because that's not the problem.
All right, let's switch over. John A. Logan College, they've already made the decision to delay some of their sports in microcosm, Mr. Yeah. Murphy. What do you see with John A. Logan College and other community colleges? And I want to address both you guys on the secondary suspect, aspect, I should say. What's the? How do we do it on a college level, junior college level? But, you know, oh, my team's super great. We're clean. We've had no positive tests, but we don't have anybody to play.
Well, the Logan issue basically came from the NJCAA. So that was like a nationwide vote of all their schools. And Logan is part of that, just like if the NCAA would make a ruling. And some of these conferences, some of the Power Fives are already making their rulings. But Logan is in a situation where they're going to move volleyball. And then they don't have to worry about football. And basketball will start January the 29th. Now, I thought it would be a lot sooner than that. But January the 29th is when they can actually have games. They can have five scrimmages. You can have 60 days where you can practice consecutively between the 15th of October and the 15th of December or something like that. Logan's already made that decision. So that's set in stone, and that was a nationwide conference, NJCAA.
What about that?
Vote.
You're good, but the other teams aren't. I mean, where you see basically conference collapse because
well,
of positive tests.
It was brought out to me, if you're going to go play a baseball game at Southwest Illinois College, and the day before the game you call up there and say, hey, we've had four guys on the baseball team test positive, you still want us to come up there and play. What's the answer going to be?
And the after director is going to say no.
Yeah, well, we'll just skip that. So I think that's what Mike was alluding to when he said he thought we would start but maybe not finish, and that's still a possibility.
All right, I want to bring something up sensitive to a very sensitive subject, but I think you two are the best suited to ask this question, period. Parents who have come to me said, I'm willing to move to another location so that my son or daughter can participate in high school sports. It's their senior year. I want to see them, and I believe that they have a chance as a scholarship, but only if they get to play this year and show their skills. What effect does that have on high school sports when it comes to people saying, I'm taking my exceptionally talented athletic son or daughter, and we're moving someplace where I can see them reach their potential, and the only way they're going to be able to afford to go to college is a scholarship because I'm poor.
Well, I can take one better than that. The parents are saying, and I've heard this said, and I don't. And college is a different thing, and Mike can explain that, but I've heard him say in high school it's all about the fans being allowed in the stands. If they're going to be allowed fans to watch these games, and parents would say, well, if my son or my daughter, if I don't get to go watch them play, then they're not going to play. I'm not going to let them play.
Right.
So they'll hold the kids out, not so much move them, because that's a whole other thing. But
and
in college,
it's
a much different situation.
Right.
But I would imagine there'd be some that wouldn't want their sons or daughters to play there.
And we get that. You know, and Mike Murphy and Mike Reese and I have talked about this a dozen times. If we've talked about it once, you go to El Dorado for the holiday tournament, look at mom and dad everywhere, and talent scouts too. So scholarships, Mr. Reese, what do you think?
It's hard for me to buy into that thinking that I should move my kid in order for him or her to be seen. Tom and Mike, I think that coaches are becoming, especially coaches, head coaches in their 30s to upper 30s, I think they are becoming much more proficient in scouting and recruiting virtually. That makes me queasy, because I think you're asking for trouble. I think you're asking to get sick, and that would be worse than not getting the scholarship. I struggle with that. I struggle with fans at games. I would really struggle with fans at high school games, because I don't think unless I'm totally out of touch, Mike, with high school ball, which could be possible, I just don't know the staff is available to check people as to come into the games, and I don't think you can let people into the games with symptoms. I don't think you can let people into the games with fever, and so I think you have to take everybody's temperature, and once you do that, all hell could break loose.
Yep.
Yeah,
and I don't know that the staff's it's a silly comparison. But, Mike, that's why I don't think the shot clock can work in high school basketball, because it's too easy to mess up, and schools just don't have – it's hard at the college level to do this. How's Southern going to let fans into games?
So
I think that's the issue.
Yeah, and you think about this. If I'm the high school principal and you want to come in and use my gym and your team comes in, and then I've made a liability issue because my physical education students are down there using it the next day, and
right.
Was there something on the surface, and all the lawyers and doctors and – great gnashing of teeth. All right, so when it comes to high school sports and the prospect, the rule is, and this was made a rule back when I was a student, you have a snow day, you don't play. If you don't have class, you don't play. Mr. Murphy, high school sports and the status of online education and play.
Well, different school districts are having different implementation plans. One school district will have students come in half a day, or they say it's the parents' choice, online or in school. I had an athletic director tell me, if we don't have kids in class, and maybe that means a half a day, then there can't be any sports. But I think the high school stuff is going to come down to, it's in the hands right now of the Illinois Department of Health and the governor's office and the State Board of Education. The IHSA is supposed to have a big meeting tomorrow. My latest information tells me that meeting is going to be pushed back. It's probably not going to happen, because later in the week, the IHSA executive board is going to meet with the Department of Public Health and the governor's office. And the governor said yesterday, I can give you no guarantees about high school sports.
All right. Mr. Reese, is there similar concerns when it comes to college, or is that something that's a non-starter?
I think we're at the same. I think we're at the same level as the high schools. I haven't heard the governor say yet the colleges can play. Have you, Murph?
Nope. I haven't heard anything about colleges.
When Southern is allowed to start practicing football, I mean, in the state, you can't have groups, Tom, more than 50, right?
Right.
At a time. So there are 100 guys on a football team plus coaches. So you don't practice together. And so Southern has two fields. One's been used more as a tailgate lot than anything in the past, and half the team, maybe the defense goes there, and the offense practices in the stadium with masks, everybody with masks, and you don't ever practice as a team. But if the limit is 50, how can you play a game?
Here's a sensitive subject I want to touch with both of you right now. Politics, Black Lives Matter, protesting has become such a big part of sports right now. The NBA, you can get it on your jersey. Is there some respect that COVID-19 and the possibility of not having sports might allow these collective sports to take a deep cleansing breath before returning after the turmoil injected by politics and race relations? Mike? Which Mike wants to go first? How about you, Mike Reese? You want to do that one?
Good. Let him take that first.
I mean, that big, deep breath, is that maybe a good thing in some respect?
Well, I don't know, Tom, because I've never experienced that. I wish I could give you a more intelligent answer than that. I do think that there will be social protests at every level, and I think they will be very peaceful, because this matters to a lot of people. And when it matters to a lot of people, that gives the people involved, that gives their strength in numbers, and it gives those people the courage to go forward. I think you'll see anthem protests. I think you'll see anthem kneeling. How much? I don't know. And now, in football, the teams are not on the field. College football, I better be more specific. Missouri Valley Conference football, the teams aren't on the field when the anthem is played, because the anthem is played some 15 minutes before the game starts. It's played about 5 minutes before the game starts in basketball, so they will be on the floor in basketball. I watched a video this morning of the San Francisco Giants, some of them kneeling, some of them standing for the anthem in an empty ballpark yesterday before an exhibition game. So it's important to enough people to do it, and with enough people it being important to, they have the courage to go ahead and do it. And it does take courage, and it takes conviction, And I admire both. And so I don't have a definite answer if one issue covers the other, Tom. I just know that both are very important. And we've heard more from athletes about social issues than we have about this and about COVID. And I'm a little bit suspicious now that the NFL players have started to speak up about on social media on Sunday about all of the issues involved in practicing that college players who take their cue from the pros will join in on that. We haven't heard much, if anything, from college players about whether they truly want to play and whether their parents and guardians truly want them to play. Right now we assume they do, but it's the staff and the administrators who are involved. I'm curious to watch that going forward.
Mike Murphy, is it interesting that the IHSA has abdicated their administrative role to the Illinois State Board of Education, the governor's office, and the Illinois Department of Public Health about rules on how you can play?
Well, I don't think they had much of a choice. I mean, they were moving everybody forward, and I think they got out a little too far, and the Department of Health and the governor's office reined them in a little bit. And when that happened, I think they had some dialogue, and I think they were told, look, this is, you know, we're going to control this. And
but, Mike, haven't we seen some ADs say, damn the torpedoes, full speed
ahead?
Well,
there are some schools that have gone on full speed ahead, but there are others, like Carbondale, when the Pinckneyville athlete was tested or tested positive, I can't remember which one it was, Carbondale shut everything down. Carbondale just reopened their athletics and their practices yesterday. So some schools never have ceased. So I think the IHSA finally realized, well, we're not going to be able to control this because we're going to be overruled. And so the executive director, and we had him on Saturday on Sports Voice, they just kind of threw their hands up and says, well, you know, don't blame us. If this happens, if this comes down, you know, we were trying to lead you this way, and we got turned.
Right, and say that's on those guys.
Right.
So as we close up today, Mike Reese, the prospect of the return of sports in a very volatile environment, very politicized for more than one reason right now. In the context here, I want to close the show up this as we wrap up, the effect on sports overall. And I want to use a frame of reference from the baseball strike and the fact that it took that strike 2-3 years before attendance came back up. And I know this is a horse of a different color, but, you know, sometimes fans get disenfranchised, right? Baseball has been one of those bright post 9/11, baseball, America's back, right? The American flag. What will we see when sports returns? Will people shun it because of politics or because they've been embarrassed because their favorite player doesn't get paid enough and he's not feeling safe? I mean, is there an outside reaction here, Mr. Reese, that you see the fans acting one way or another?
I think fans will act negatively toward it, Tom, but I don't think it'll be enough to matter. It's about television revenue now, and television revenue is about ratings. That's never been higher. The revenue's never been higher, and it's about to go higher, even especially for the pro sports. When Amazon and Google started to get involved in the bidding, when the network television contracts are up in the NFL, and I think the money will go out of sight, and I think that will still be there. And so I don't think there will be change. As long as the longer we go without sports, I think the more people will join that and figure out that they can do without it. But if it restarts by the first of the year, I don't think that the majority of people will be turned off by sports.
Fan reaction, Mike Murphy.
Well, number one, I hope we get to have some fans in the stands because as of right now, you know, we don't know for sure. And I don't know, Mike, you know, if there's been anything talk about broadcasters, but I know we've both seen that broadcasters are broadcasting from some remote locations. So they're keeping some broadcasters at arm's length on this thing, not even letting broadcasters in the stadium. I hope there are some fans allowed in. I'm like Mike, I don't know how. I mean, maybe at Busch Stadium you could test everybody as they come in, but at a high school event, at a college event, I think it would be total chaos.
Yeah, I do too, and the resistance too. Somebody just texted in and says, sports should be sports. Protests should not have football games in them. It's interesting, one of the comments that came in this morning. Mike Reese, voice of the Salukis, really good to talk to you, buddy.
Pleasure's mine. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Mike.
I tell you, before we close, Mike Reese and I were talking about this on the phone, and it's the subtext for everything that we've talked about today, although it's not been as blatant. The opportunity that sports provide for growing education scholarship. There is an educational component that when it's lost, I hate that for kids because, and I've told both you guys this, what's football teach you? Get back up after you've been knocked down again. Team cohesion.
Teamwork.
Working together. Taking instruction. All these things, I don't want to see our kids deprived of those.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, I'm sure Mike would echo this. We need sports, and we need it badly.
And we need it more economically than any of us want to admit, fellas.